The barbarian tribes of Rome, the Anglo-Saxons. Now we finally reached the last of our various tribes that were dealing with Rome at the collapse. So we'll be looking at these at this point. Now, of course, the history of Britain in general has always been one of different people groups conquering, mixing, and adapting and evolving. Before the advent of the United Kingdom, nearly every legal or rather regal power has been in the hands of an outsider. Even if we take the earliest history of the Isle, we can see the central power belonged to Rome, Anglo-Saxons, and Normans that unequivocally came from the continent. Nearly every time they took hold of the Isle, the culture would shift. Now, Roman Britain, as early as 43 CE, Romans established military and political control over Britain. The only areas they couldn't take was what today comprises Scotland, which at the time was ruled by the so-called Caledonians. In fact, the famous Hadrian's Wall, built in 128 CE, as well as the later Antonine Wall, constructed around 142 CE, and took a little over a decade to complete, were put up as countermeasures against the constant Caledonian attacks. Roman citizens from all over the empire would come to inhabit the island. Public and private buildings were steadily rising, and Britain's got sturdy Roman roads. While there weren't any high-profile centers of power in Roman Britain, some high officials nevertheless called the Isle their home. During the late Roman period, or more specifically during the Diocletian reforms of 296, the island was divided into four provinces, called collectively the Dioceses of the Britons. Four were called Britannia Prima, Britannia Secunda, Flavia Caesarinus, and Maxima Caesarinus. However, in the 5th century, an additional province, Valentia, was formed between the two great walls of the north. Vicarius, a vicar, was in charge of the diocese, with his center being Londinium, though some researchers note that this speculation has its own flaws. With the decline of the Roman Empire, the ruling Romans paid less and less attention to Britain. The Roman Empire had already been all but divided in the 3rd and early 4th centuries CE, and the constant incursions of various barbarian groups, alongside political intrigue and internal conflict, kept the emperors busy on the continent. On occasion, some political figure would emerge and stir up some trouble on the Isle, but it would be over in a matter of years. Historians usually mention the year 410 as the years the Roman rule officially ended in Britain. Of course, the whole story is a bit more complex than that. For example, there's the period between 383 and 388 CE, when Britain was ruled by the Roman general Magnus Maximus. He was appointed general of the Isle for this period, who had killed the Western Emperor Gratian and proclaimed himself a Caesar, or sub-emperor of Gaul and Britain, subservient only to the Emperor Theodosius, the last emperor to rule over both halves of the ailing empire. During this time, he had to deal with the Picts, originally from the territory of today's Scotland, and the Scotti of Ireland that were invading the Isle, as well as the Saxons, one of the tribes which will come to populate the Isle a century or so later. There is a strong possibility that Maximus even appointed local tribal leaders in key political positions. It was also during this reign, according to a few written sources, most notably Gildas, that he moved most of his troops from Hadrian's Wall to the continent in order to pursue his campaign there. He was beaten at the Battle of Save and later at the Battle of Pitovio after an unsuccessful bid to claim eastern parts of the empire. Theodosius himself executed him in 388, but Theodosius himself passed away in 395. He had to quell another rebellion by Eugenius, a usurper claiming the western part of the empire for himself. After his death, Theodosius's sons ruled as emperors of two distinct countries, with the western part governed by Honorius and the eastern part by Arcadius. Neither ruler proved to be a capable monarch. Before Honorius came of age, his father-in-law, Stilicho, did the bulk of the work keeping the Western Roman Empire together. During this time, raids by outside tribes increased the point of Stilicho allegedly initiating a war campaign against the possibly in 398. Mere years later, roughly around 401, he had to withdraw troops from Hadrian's Wall in order to deal with the Ostrogoths and the Visigoths on the continent. The year 402 is the last year Rome saw a major influx of Roman coins, suggesting that the empire had no financial power to retain the island and defend it properly. Picts, Scotti, and Saxons raided far more than earlier, and the locals had no real means of defense with the Roman generals gone. Now, it's at this point that we'll go into next time, but you know, there's a period in here where we get the so-called legends of King Arthur. And I'm actually going to talk a little bit about Roman Britain after the Romans leave. But they haven't left yet. We still have a section to deal with on the final part where they're withdrawn. And then a look at sub-Roman Britain prior to dealing with a little bit of the legend of Arthur, or whatever happens in this period. Now, the sources for this: The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Attila the Hun by Worrell, The Burgundians by Charles River, The History of the Ostrogoths by Burns, and The History of the Vandals by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.